This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself to see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes and could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This episode is brought to you by IQBar. Pretty much everyone I know struggles with their energy levels these days. But if you often find yourself flagging, the solution might be easier than you think. IQBar protein bars, IQ Mix hydration mixes, and IQ Joe mushroom coffees are the delicious low-sugar brain and body fuel that you need to win your day. We got the ultimate sampler pack, and let me tell you, it disappeared in days. Especially the IQ Mix Zero Sugar Drink Mix sachets. They hydrate you with electrolytes, improve your mood, and boost your mental clarity. All IQ Bar products are packed with clean, delicious ingredients that keep you physically and mentally fit, like magnesium, lion's mane, and more. And right now, IQ Bar is offering our special podcast listeners 20% off all IQ Bar products, including the Ultimate Sampler Pack, plus free shipping. To get your 20% off, text redhanded to 64,000. Text redhanded to 64,000. That's redhanded to 64,000. Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details.
Hello.
I'm Forrest Gump.
That's not what I was expecting you to say.
Because Forrest Gump is named after the founder of the KKK.
Is he really? Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's right at the beginning of the film, which I know you haven't watched.
I haven't watched it. I feel like I know too much about it now.
You always say that. You're like, oh, like people talk about it, so I feel like I've seen it. And I'm like, that's not
I know.
The point.
I know. Instead, I spent random moments of my bank holiday watching The Ultimatum South Africa. Which, honestly, if we have any South African fans watching, listening.
We definitely do, because I don't shut up about it.
Please, please, please tell me, DM me on Instagram, because I don't always like read all of the comments everywhere and like it's hard to keep track of. DM me your thoughts on what the fuck has been going on The Ultimatum South Africa. I have so many opinions. We'll talk about it on Under the Duvet next week, but I need to know what you think.
I was actually in the pub the other day and these two girls came up to me and were like, oh, like, love your podcast, blah, blah, blah. And also, we weren't sure whether we should come up to you, but we're South African, so we knew that you would love us. I was like, yes, fair. Fair. I actually thinking about unfollowing my friends who have just moved there, because the spam I am getting of beauty is making me depressed. Anyway, we're not going to talk about South Africa today. Today, we are confronting head-on the epitome of evil. And evil is not a word we use on this show. Well, we can use it on this one. Mm-hmm. Red-handed, maybe not. We're going to talk about a group that has, since 1865, morphed from being a secret society to a pyramid scheme on steroids, and then a paramilitary army brimming with shaved-headed bigots. But through every metamorphosis of the Ku Klux Klan, one thing has remained the same. An unshakable commitment to racial terror and white supremacy. This is the story of America's first terrorist group, otherwise known as the KKK. Here is the shorthand.
First, we have to rewind the clock to the birth of the original KKK. It was the 1860s, and America's Civil War was in full swing. The northern and southern states were fighting over a whole messy grab bag of political, social, and economic issues. The north had become industrial and commercial, while the south was all about farming and agriculture. But the main point of conflict was slaves.
The southern economy was fueled by cotton, America's most exported commodity, and cotton was picked and processed by slaves. At this time, owning slaves was like the ultimate status symbol and made plantation owners very, very wealthy. The North had a steady flow of European immigrants willing to work in their factories, so A, they didn't need slaves, and B, Europe was done with slave labour. So the northern states were like, oh, maybe this is pretty barbaric.
So the South became a one-crop economy. The seeds of both cotton and white supremacy were sown. And this is pretty central to the birth of the KKK. In recent studies, there's a clear link between cotton-growing areas and where the KKK was most rampant. I was actually listening to an interesting interview about this whole premise of, like, slavery back then. Yes, obviously, the transatlantic slave trade was a very specific type of evil that was done during that time. But slavery for all of human history up until the point that, you know, we're going to talk about, it was normal. And there was obviously different levels of it. Obviously, the idea now of any sort of slavery is abhorrent to our modern minds. But, you know, indentured servitude, even in this country, you know, like peasants who were living off the land. So you had like your lord and you worked for them. And there's like, you know, the argument there of like, of course it was horrible. But like, if you didn't live under a lord, your life would be objectively even worse if you were just like out living in the wilderness. It's not in any way like that was an okay way to be living. But lots of arguments, obviously, like I said, the transatlantic slave trade, very, very different to that.
But I think it's important to note that like wherever there were black slaves, there were Irish indentured workers, to the point where a lot of Caribbean and Southern black American folklore is the same.
Mm-hmm.
And even Can You Dig It comes from the Irish and dig into, which means do you understand?
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the point the podcast was making was this idea of like when Europe, which was the first like place that we were like, okay, maybe this is barbaric, it was also coming alongside progress that was meaning that we didn't need it anymore. We weren't as labor intensive a part of the world. So it was easier for people to get to the point where they were like, maybe this is barbaric and we shouldn't be doing this. That's what you see here. When the country or that part of the world doesn't need slave labor anymore because it can run efficiently without it, is when you see a move away from it. But in the South, that wasn't the case. So they're really doubling down on it. And like we said, very, very central to the birth of the KKK. So when slavery was abolished in the US in 1865, the fragile men of the South did freak out. It was a pretty significant hit to their mojo. And they were very used to being able to delegate all of their grunt work. So all across Southern states, people saw the freeing of slaves as a threat to their jobs and to their place in society. And inevitably, to their masculinity.
Around this time, a group of former Confederate soldiers decided to form a secret society to assert their white supremacy. This secret society was named Ku Klux, inspired by the Greek word kuklos, which means circle. Obviously, this was spelled with a K because even diehard racists had a soft spot for alliteration. Founded in Pulaski, Tennessee, the Ku Klux started as a club, like a no homers. We're allowed wine.
It's no homers.
And though that sounds trivial, considering how dangerous they would become, do what you're told and hear us out. The Ku Klux would dress up in white bedsheets and ride around on horses. They had this rogue initiation ceremony where new members would be initiated with a royal crown that was actually two large donkey ears. The Ku Klux Klan was like an after-hours prank squad filled with what sounds like those kids from school who would find flipping their eyelids inside out to be the height of comedic genius.
One of their so-called...
I was just about to do it. I'm not going to do it.
Oh, no, don't. I've just had a sty. No, thanks. Now, one of their so-called pranks was to go to black households and keep asking for a drink of water, which they secretly funneled into a bottle hidden under their robes. They'd then dramatically declare that they hadn't had a drink since they died on the battlefield at Shiloh and gallop away. Okay. Still, naturally, these unhinged antics were pretty frightening to the newly freed black people. By 1868, different Klan groups had popped up and decided to unite under the leadership of Nathan Bedford Forrest.
Forrest Gump.
Yeah. The KKK's first Grand Wizard. It's just so, so lame. So yeah, the Grand Wizard title was likely inspired by Forrest's wartime nickname, the Wizard of the Saddle, as he was known for skillfully using cavalry in battle.
Which battle are we talking about? Is it him riding around with his friends? Because that is the impression I get.
I mean, is it the Civil War?
Pass.
Yes. I assume it's the Civil War when he's fighting for the South and riding around on his horse
Yes.
On his horsey. And everybody's like, he's the wizard of the saddle. I don't know what accent that was, but you know. And yeah, if you ever did wonder where that incredibly lame name, the Grand Wizard, came from, now you know.
Now you do know. And ridiculous it may be, but it did stick. And the KKK became known for their ridiculous titles, which do sound more like dodgy Dungeons and Dragons characters. That's incredibly hard to say. Than a domestic terrorist group, but let's not forget that is what they are. But also, it was pretty standard for secret societies at the time. And the buffoonery did not stop there. Early Klansmen wore animal horns and polka-dotted hats and imitated barnyard animals, which, shall we all just picture together? Fully grown men, on horses, wearing bedsheets, and mooing like a cow.
Yeah. And look, again, it's like it sounds incredibly comical and buffoonish, but very much like the pranks that made no sense when I read it out must have been terrifying to the newly freed black folk who would have been watching these men doing this.
Absolutely. Things. Fucking hell. Like, and it, yes, it does sound funny, but it all got very ugly very quickly. Mutilations, floggings, lynchings and shootings spread across the South until the mid-1870s. And that's when the Klan started to fade away. Congress was sick of the violence. And anyway, the Jim Crow laws had just codified racism in the law of the land.
But then the Klan had a second wind. As you'll learn very quickly, the history of the KKK is really like a game of whack-a-mole. The Roaring Twenties was arguably peak KKK. That is, until a high-profile sex scandal brought it all undone.
That's what I find so interesting about, like, I think we have a common thing of this, like, nostalgic for the 20s and also for the 50s when you have all those, like, doo-wop girl groups. And I'm like, oh, yeah, let's go back to when we didn't have the fucking vote. But the 20s has that, like, thing about it that we sort of idolize it a bit.
It's, like, very glamorous, isn't it?
But yeah. Also, basically everyone who you're watching in The Great Gatsby was a fucking fascist. like, you can't leave that bit out.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself to see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes and could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states. Starting a new business is notoriously difficult. Not only do you have the intricacies and admin of actually launching your money-making endeavor, but you also have all of that self-doubt and fear to contend with. What if nobody likes my product? What if I can't make it work? Well, unfortunately, I can't answer those questions. But I can recommend something to make your business journey a lot easier. Shopify. Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce in the US. From household names like Gymshark to Skims and brands just getting started. So start your journey with your own design studio. With hundreds of ready-to-use templates, Shopify helps you build a beautiful online store that matches your brand style. What if people haven't heard about my brand? Don't worry, Shopify helps you find customers with easy-to-run email and social media campaigns. And what if I get stuck? Well, Shopify's always around to share advice with their award-winning 24/7 customer support. And did I mention that iconic purple Shop Pay button that's used by millions of businesses around the world? It's why Shopify has the best converting checkout on the planet. It's time to change those what-ifs into with Shopify today. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/redhanded. Go to shopify.com/redhanded. That's shopify.com/redhanded.
But before we get into this sex scandal that brought down the KKK at its peak, let's back up a bit. There were essentially three things behind the KKK's 1920s resurgence: a movie, a lynching, and effective marketing. In 1915, America's first ever blockbuster, The Birth of a Nation, was released. It was like the Avatar or Star Wars of the time. Only really, really racist.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen
it. I have. What it is a white man in blackface raping a woman, basically.
Oh, lovely.
And then he gets lynched.
Got ya. So yeah, The Birth of a Nation was 3 hours of racist propaganda that portrayed the original Ku Klux Klan as this white feminist superhero squad, which saved America from the Reconstruction period. It was a smash hit. It was shown in the White House. President Woodrow Wilson was a fan. And the new Ku Klux Klan were essentially a bunch of idiots cosplaying this film.
I would like to say that I didn't watch all 3 hours.
I was going to say, that's quite the commitment.
You don't need to. You get the idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the first 10.
Got it.
Anyway. Around this very same time, a Jewish man called Leo Frank was convicted of the rape and murder of his 13-year-old employee, Mary Fagan. The evidence against him was largely circumstantial, but while Frank was in prison, a group calling themselves the Knights of Mary Fagan abducted him from his cell and lynched him. This act was celebrated across the state of Georgia, and shops even sold postcards and souvenirs of the lynching. In this climate of anti-Semitism and pro-KKK sentiment, along came a former minister called William Simmons, a man who, bedridden after a car accident, just had a bit too much time on his hands.
Simmons decided to create a new club, with a K, the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. To mark the start of a new era, he declared himself the Grand Wizard. He even burned a cross, a ritual straight out of The Birth of a Nation, but not actually practiced by the original KKK. This clan had a beefed up list of enemies, which now included Asians, immigrants, bootleggers, dope, graft, nightclubs and roadhouses, violation of the Sabbath, sex, pre- and extramarital escapades, and scandalous behaviour of any sort. What do they mean by graft? Like work? Surely not.
Maybe it's like grift.
Oh, maybe. So yeah, what do they mean by scandalous behaviour? I mean, it was anything, ranging from listening to jazz music or women just wearing shortish skirts.
Smoking those jazz cigarettes. This new KKK lived and breathed by a book which was called The Klan.
Oh my God. These guys, they're like... Again, I don't want to dismiss how dangerous they were.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're just like trolls. Mm-hmm. They're coming across like trolls.
Very edgy. Yeah.
Edgelords all around.
And the Klan... I'm going to try again and say it with a straight face.
It's very difficult.
As you say, don't want to dismiss how awful this is, but it's like, it's. I mean, obviously it's supposed to be a play on the Quran, which they hate that. They don't like the Asians. I don't. Anyway, so the Quran outlined the rituals and duties of each member of their twisted hierarchy. In actuality, it's quite racist fan fiction. The Imperial Wizard is the big guy, the big boss, the big man on top. And then the Grand Dragons are regional managers. And then the Exalted Cyclops runs the local factions. However, things really kicked off when Simmons hired a paid recruiter to turn the KKK into a giant pyramid scheme.
Ding, 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 ding.
Salesmen were called Kegels. I don't know if any of them would even have known what a pelvic floor is.
Yeah.
And they all received commissions by selling ridiculous robes and hoods, which are coincidentally pyramid shaped. And they also charged initiation fees. Called Collecticut.
Oh my God. Fucking hell. Trolls. Trolls, trolls, trolls.
And a Collecticut would cost you about $150 in today's money.
Wow.
And they even had Klan-branded insurance policies, life insurance policies.
Great. And a side note on the KKK. Members were not allowed to DIY their robes, so they had to buy the official KKK robes, which is fair.
Couldn't just go to Dunelm.
We let you guys just have your counterfeit merch all over the place. We've seen it. We've seen other live tours. Everyone wearing counterfeit merch left, right and centre. We allow it. KKK do not allow it. One of the few differences between red-handed and the KKK. And these robes and hoods that the Kegels were out there selling were made at very specific factories for around $2, which is like £25 in today's money. And then they had to be purchased directly from the Kegels for $6.50, which is about £85 in today's money.
Oh my God, that is just outrageous. Now look, I'm not going to cry any tears for racists getting ripped off, but it really does stand to show that we could learn a thing or two because our merch profits are dog shit. Anyway, another side note on the robes. Supposedly, they were meant to mimic the ghosts of the Confederate soldiers. But then others said it was a nod to white Protestant Christianity. But strictly, Protestants, Catholics and co. were not allowed in the KKK. So, like, what they're actually referring to, don't know. Either way, the KKK leaders made absolute bank. The Indiana Klan leader pulled in around $200,000 annually, which in today's money is more than $3 million or more than £2.3 million a year. And that's just one state. Now, as we mentioned before, this iteration of the Klan was obviously blatantly racist, but also with a fun puritanical political twist. People literally thought of the KKK as good, noble, and law-abiding citizens who were protecting other citizens from their worst nightmares: immigration, communism, hedonism, and corruption.
KKK members from the 1960s onwards are thought of as weird people who probably couldn't pass a primary school literacy test, which is exactly what happened on Jerry Springer. But back in the 20s, members of the KKK were highly educated, well above the national average even, and they were rich. That's why Forrest Gump was named after one. Obviously, this secret society trend was quite era-specific, but white American men never seemed to tire of their love of exclusive social clubs, which, if you have several days to kill, you can take yourself over to Spotify and listen to Sinister Societies, where we covered quite a few of them.
We did. But also the Asian men, because they were scamming you lot with yoga. Taking your bitches, taking your money.
Hide your kids, hide your wife. Yoga's coming. The Indians are invading. And to be honest, it is still present today. All you have to look at is the US fraternity culture, where one swipe of an Amex can buy yourself a network far away from the common people. I am constantly amazed by the frat system.
I don't understand it at all, but when I was in Rome, there was a lot of American tourists around, and we would sit near them in restaurants. And look, I love Americans. I've said it before. Love America, love Americans. But yeah, loads of talk of frats. And I think it was a lot of like people who, like college students who were like on holiday.
Sure.
And I was like, I'm so fascinated.
By the mid-1920s, the KKK had bajillions of members, but actually just millions. And they would rape and murder and lynch hundreds, if not thousands of people who were obviously primarily African Americans. We don't know exactly how many people, nor how many KKK members there were, as records from that time are pretty incomplete and totally unreliable. And quite a lot of the time they get away with it because many of the KKK held positions of authority. And as we all know, people in power in the South of the United States can get away with murder. Please see our episode on the Murdochs.
Plus, politicians didn't want to piss off white Protestant voters. That's a huge demographic that you're going to be turning away from the ballot box. So they did nothing. There was very little accountability for politicians then. You could argue what's changed, and I would agree with you. And as they said at the time, you were safe in politics unless you were found in bed with a live man or a dead woman. That's a horribly fun phrase, isn't it?
I literally, as you said that, I was like, I love that.
I know.
But shouldn't.
So yes, this little sentence that Hannah and I shouldn't like, but we do, is exactly what happened. Yes, we are coming back to the sex scandal that brought them down in the 20s. Because it was then that one of the most charismatic, powerful, and visible Klan members was accused of rape and murder. Now, it's important to note that this poor excuse of a man, David Curtis Stevenson, would often pose as a fearless defender of white Protestant womanhood. So when he kidnapped and brutally tortured a woman named Madge Oberholzer, a 28-year-old schoolteacher whom he had the hots for, the Klan went through a real identity crisis. Yes, it's very hard to be running around arguing that you're there saving white women from being raped by black men when you are also doing the raping. So the Klansmen did actually abandon Stevenson. And Stevenson, in a fit of vengeance, retaliated by releasing dirt on his fellow high-profile KKK members. The Klan was suddenly seen as completely unethical. Plus, thanks to the Great Depression, the membership fee lost its appeal. and the Klan fizzled. Until its third reboot during the civil rights era.
And because you're very intelligent, you have probably already noticed the pattern that is emerging here. Each Klan resurrection coincides with a period in history in which white American power and status were threatened. Just like cults, these things happen at the right time. Wrong time. Same time. Time, shut up. Now, we're in 1954, and the Supreme Court had just thrown out the separate but equal doctrine that had legalized racial segregation. And that was met with backlash from racists, like car salesman Robert Shelton. Shelton was not willing to treat black people as human beings, let alone citizens. You must have seen that picture of a hotel owner pouring acid into his own pool because black people were swimming in it.
Oh, wow, no.
So, you know, he wasn't the only one. Mm-hmm. In 1961, Robert Shelton, taking inspiration from previous bedsheet chic enthusiasts and grand wizards of prejudice, decided to unite the crumbling KKK factions. He declared a new modern era of the Klan with the same old bigotry that would target what he called the scallywags of today, which now added communists to the burn book. And he also dressed up like Mickey Mouse in The Sorcerer's Apprentice. And the new Klansmen were putty in his hands.
As the weather gets warmer, the absolute last thing I want to be dealing with is uncomfortable underwear. Thankfully, I can rely on Honeylove to keep me cool, comfy, and supported. Honeylove is an independent, female-founded brand, and all their products are intelligently designed by women who actually wear them. Got a big party coming up? I know it's wedding season. Honeylove shapewear is designed to move with you, so you can say goodbye to that pesky shapewear we all know rolls down as soon as you hit the dance floor. My personal favorite is the Cloud Embrace bra, a modern wireless t-shirt bra with sturdy, light padded foam cups that feel like a cloud against the skin. No more sweating on the tube with a painful wire digging into your ribs. Treat yourself to the most advanced bras and shapewear on the market. Use our exclusive link to save 20% off Honeylove at honeylove.com/redhanded. That's honeylove.com/redhanded. After you check out, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Experience the new standard in comfort and support with Honeylove.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself to see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes and could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This episode is brought to you by IQBar. Pretty much everyone I know struggles with their energy levels these days. But if you often find yourself flagging, the solution might be easier than you think. IQ Bar Protein Bars, IQ Mix Hydration Mixes, and IQ Joe Mushroom Coffees are the delicious low-sugar brain and body fuel that you need to win your day. We got the ultimate sampler pack, and let me tell you, it disappeared in days. Especially the IQ Mix Zero Sugar Drink Mix sachets. They hydrate you with electrolytes, improve your mood, and boost your mental clarity. All IQ Bar products are packed with clean, delicious ingredients that keep you physically and mentally fit, like magnesium, lion's mane, and more. And right now, IQ Bar is offering our special podcast listeners 20% off all IQ Bar products, including the Ultimate Sampler Pack, plus free shipping. To get your 20% off, text redhanded to 64,000. Text redhanded to 64,000. That's redhanded to 64,000. Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details.
Starting a new business is notoriously difficult. Not only do you have the intricacies and admin of actually launching your money-making endeavor, but you also have all of that self-doubt and fear to contend with. What if nobody likes my product? What if I can't make it work? Well, unfortunately, I can't answer those questions. But I can recommend something to make your business journey a lot easier. Shopify. Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce in the US. From household names like Gymshark to Skims and brands just getting started. So start your journey with your own design studio. With hundreds of ready-to-use templates, Shopify helps you build a beautiful online store that matches your brand style. What if people haven't heard about my brand? Don't worry, Shopify helps you find customers with easy-to-run email and social media campaigns. And what if I get stuck?
Well, Shopify's always around to share advice with their award-winning 24/7 customer support. And did I mention that iconic purple Shop Pay button that's used by millions of businesses around the world? It's why Shopify has the best converting checkout on the planet. It's time to change those what-ifs into with Shopify today. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/redhanded. Go to shopify.com/redhanded. That's shopify.com/redhanded.
The new Klansmen of the 60s and 70s attacked freedom riders. They murdered civil rights activists. They burned the houses of civil rights leaders. And they bombed churches so often that Birmingham, in the US, not in the UK, was nicknamed Bombingham. And then on a crisp Sunday morning in September 1963, a white man was seen placing a box under the steps of the 16th Street Baptist Church, a place where civil rights activist meetings were often held. Within moments, the explosives detonated, claiming the lives of four young girls as they were getting ready for Sunday school. Denise McNair, Addie Mae Collins, Carol Robertson, and Cynthia Wesley. Addie's sister Sarah lost her eyesight in the bombings, and the last thing she remembered before the explosion was asking her big sister to tie the bow of her church dress.
This time around, the public weren't having it in the way they had before. The hate was losing its grip, one member at a time. In 71, the KKK membership had dropped to around 4,300, where it had been 17,000 almost in 1967. Plus, the FBI were going all in on a counterintelligence program that they called COINTELPRO. White hate.
They need to learn a thing or two about naming things. This is terrible.
Go on a marketing course, my God. It's better than wrap it up. In 1964, there were some 2,000 FBI informants that had infiltrated the Klan. However, in the mid-1970s, David Duke, a former neo-Nazi and unfortunate heartthrob for bald, closeted racist housewives, put another new face on the KKK. And while other grand wizards took on a more militant persona, David Duke was articulate, he was charming, and he schmoozed his way right to the top.
But we do have to tell you, with some joy, that David Duke was quite the loser in school and was actually called Puke Duke by all the other kids. They were clearly quite ahead of their time. In 1979, KKK members and Nazis joined forces, which resulted in the Greensboro Massacre, which was like the debut of the white nationalist movement. But in 1981, Robert Shelton's United Klans of America, UKA, was still the most violent Klan at the time. But one final act of terrible violence led to the decline of the UKA, and subsequently, this iteration of the KKK. One night, two members of UKA, Henry Hayes and James Tiger Knowles, decided to kill a black man at random. They abducted 19-year-old Michael Donald at gunpoint, brutally beating him and hanging him from a tree. That same night, other members of United Klans of America celebrated the lynching by burning a cross on the lawn of the Mobile County Courthouse. Henry Hayes was caught and received the death penalty. He was the first ever KKK member sentenced to death for killing an African American in the 20th century. The victim's mother successfully sued the group and was awarded $7 million in damages, which totally bankrupted United Klans of America. In the 1980s, white supremacists and racists alike began to form an underground paramilitary army in preparation for what they believed to be an imminent race war. Survival schools started to appear, teaching members how to blow up roadways and bridges. In one FBI raid, enough cyanide was found to poison the water supply of an entire city. And these extremist groups are providing paramilitary-style training to this day. In fact, the biggest risk today is to think that the Ku Klux Klan doesn't exist. Klans are still gathering under southern skies, burning crosses and distributing KKK leaflets.
Wasn't there a podcast? I think we listened to it on a road trip. White Hot Hate. Do you remember that one?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So, you know, it's not dead and gone. Anyway, what's quite terrifying about this new iteration of the KKK is how hell-bent these white supremacists are on enlisting the next generation. They intentionally recruit high schoolers, preying on the awkwardness of adolescence and Andrew Tate-esque insistence that white men are under attack. And while they're mainly disorganized, disconnected groups, the rhetoric is still breeding lone wolves like Charleston church shooter Dylan Roof. And this hatred isn't just manifesting in a person wearing a KKK hood. It can be the viral TikTok influencer or the friendly guy in the video game forum, or even the Christian YouTube blogger. And astonishingly, all of this is still debated in the highest levels of US government. In 2021, the Texas State Senate voted to remove the requirement that schools teach the KKK as morally wrong. That's astonishing.
Wow.
You can tell a lot about a person by their shoes, where they been, where they going.
I thought there was going to be more.
I can't remember this.
I was so excited.
I can't remember the next thing. But you can tell a lot about a person by their shoes.
I mean, they're not cute enough, Hannah. That's what they can fucking tell. So yeah, that is it, guys. That is our red-handed shorthand rundown on the KKK. Obviously, it is a massive topic, but that is what we have time for today. Hopefully, you learned something new, and we will see you next time. And wear cute shoes. Bye.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.